Welcome to TanakhStudy.com. This is Gad Dishi, and together we're studying Sefer Melachim.
Perek Het Melachim Aleph. In this perek, we're going to read about the inauguration, the activation of the Beit HaMikdash, after having learned about all of the details of how it was built and what kelim there were there. And then we'll also read about Shlomo's Tefillah to Hashem, about the uniqueness and special status of the Beit HaMikdash, and we'll read about the celebration following Shlomo's prayer. Pasuk Aleph, Az Yakel Shlomo et Zeknei Yisrael et Kol Rashei HaMatot Nesi'ei HaAvot Bnei Yisrael El HaMelech Shlomo Yerushalayim Lehalot et Aron Berit Adonai Mi'ir David Hi Tzion. And at that time, as a poetic opening, like Az Yashir Moshe, at that time Shlomo gathered all of the Zekenim, all of the heads of the Shevatim, all of the Nesi'im of the Rashei HaAvot, the heads of the families of Am Yisrael, by invitation to come see the king in Yerushalayim and to partake in the transporting of the Aron that has the Luchot HaBrit in it from Ir David, which is Sion, to the Beit HaMikdash. Recall, the Aron had been separated from the rest of the Mishkan. David had moved it to Yerushalayim. And in Perek Gimel, Shlomo had offered up sacrifices in Gibeon, where it was, where the Mizbeach was, and then brought Korbanot also in Yerushalayim to show this transference of the Mizbeach. And we are about to have now the inauguration of that fulfillment in the Beit HaMikdash of the Mizbeach being activated for the Korbanot and for the Shechina. ויקהלו אל המלך שלמה כל איש ישראל בירך האיתנים בחג הוא החודש השביעי. And Shlomo HaMelech gathered, in addition to all those people we mentioned above, all of Am Yisrael in the month of the holidays, known as Yerech HaEtanim, which is the seventh month, what we know as Tishrei. And we had mentioned earlier that perhaps Shlomo had instituted his own calendar. However, the months of Etanim and Ziv and Bul also all appear in the local Canaanite traditions. And so perhaps it was some idea of globalization, of adopting the secular calendar for trade purposes or for international relations. And this is the month that we're referring to, Yerech HaEtanim, which is Tishrei. Vayavoo kol zeknei Yisrael, vayisu hakohanim et ha'aron. And all the zeknim arrived, and the kohanim were placed in charge of transporting the Aron, and they did so. Vayalu et Aron Adonai ve'et ohel moed, ve'et kol kere hakodesh asher ba'ohel, vayalu otam hakohanim ve'halviyim. So the kohanim and the leviyim, we're now moving, transporting the Aron and all of its associated kelim and all of the accoutrements from Ohel Moed. Now, the Ohel Moed here can be referring to remnants of the Ohel Moed of the Moshe Rabbeinu, and or it could be the Ohel where the Aron was stationed while it was still in Yerushalayim. But in either case, all of the surroundings of the Ohel moved together with the all surroundings of the Aron. Went together with the Aron, including the Kleha Kodesh, which were in the Ohel, and they were all moved towards Beit HaMikdash. והמלך שלמה וכל הדת ישראל הנועדים עליו איתו לפני הארון, מזבחים סון ובקר, אשר לא יספרו ולא ימנו מרוב. And Shlomo HaMelech and all of the Edah leadership of Bnei Israel that were gathered together there, together with him, before the Aron, were bringing korbanot of son ubakar, of cattle and sheep, so numerous that they could not even count them anymore. And again, this type of a phraseology was similar to us, where Shlomo had left the counting of the Nechoshet because there was so much. The idea of abundance and opulence is something that will carry forth in the next parak as well. Ve'yaviu ha-kohanim et aron berit Adonai el mekomo, el devir ha-bayit, el kodesh ha-kodashim, el tachat kanfe ha-keruvim. So we have an exact precision location of the Aron. The kohanim bring it to its place, which is in the devir, which is the kodesh ha-kodashim, that inner chamber room that we spoke about, the smaller area that's in the Beit HaMikdash that was designed specifically for the Aron, and it is underneath the wings of the Keruvim. Now we'll have a little bit more detail whether or not the Aron was north or south or east-west. Ki ha-Keruvim porsim kenafayim el mekom ha-Aron, v'yasoko ha-Keruvim al ha-Aron ve'al badav milmala. The Keruvim that Beit HaMikdash had from Shlomo HaMelech, we said, was facing towards the east, the wings, And therefore, when you put the Aron in the middle, it was east-west, and the wings of the Kruvim, only two of the four of the wings that were covered the entirety of the Aron and the Badim in length, and it was covered from above. It was not directly upon it, but above it. Ve'yarichu habadim, ve'yara'u rashe habadim min hakodesh al pnei hadvir, ve'lo yira'u hachutza. So if you were inside the Bet HaMikdash in Kodesh HaKodeshim, the Badim were longer than perhaps the ones in the times of Moshe Rabbeinu. They made longer ones, or they were miraculously longer, and the edges of the Badim would be touching the Parochet that was separating between the Kodesh and Kodesh HaKodeshim, because, as we mentioned earlier, the doors that Shlomo HaMelech built were constantly open. They couldn't be closed because of the Aron being in the way, more for decorative purposes of the doors being there. And the Badim would be touching the Parochet, but it wouldn't be that much bigger, and therefore the thickness of the Parochet managed to buffer the indentations of the Badim in the curtain, and therefore from the other side you would not see any impression of the Badim, and rather only from the inner side of the Bet HaMikdash, of the Kodesh HaKodeshim. Vehi Yusham Ad Hayom Hazeh. And the Aron and the Kruvim, they were there until this very day, indicating perhaps a later authorship of this Perek, looking back, or some sense of permanence that the author is trying to give us that is there until this very day. En ba'aron, rak shnei luchot ha'abanim asher niach sham Moshe b'Horev, asher karat Adonai im b'nei Yisrael b'tzetam eretz Mitzrayim. And the Aron, as opposed to all the other kelim that Shlomo HaMelech had multiplied from the Mishkan to the Bet HaMikdash, whether it be additional menorot, or kiyorim, or shulchanot. Only here, the Aron, there's only one and only, the Aron that has the Shnei Luchot Brit that Hashem gave Moshe at Har Sinai, and that was the Brit that Hashem made with Bnei Yisrael when they left Eretz Mitzrayim, and that's the only one, there's only one Aron. Vahi betzet kohanim min hakodesh, once the Aron is in place, the Bet HaMikdash, so to speak, is activated. All the power and all the kedusha begins to be infused throughout the Mikdash. Vahi betzet kohanim in hakodesh, when the kohanim left the kodesh after having put the Aron in Kodesh HaKodeshim, vehi anan male et bet Adonai, and the anan, meaning the presence of Hashem, the Shekhinah, filled the entirety of Bet HaMikdash. Velo yachlu hakohanim la'amod lesharet mipnei ha'anan, the kohanim could not perform their functions in the Bet HaMikdash because of the Shekhinah. Because it filled the entirety of the Bet HaMikdash, and they weren't able to go in. This imagery is reminiscent, and purposely so, of the inauguration of the Mishkan, which is also reminiscent of Ma'amad Har Sinai, where we have this massive infusion of Shekhinah, of the Anan, of people not being able to go inside. In the Mishkan, it was only until God called Moshe into the cloud. And similarly, when God called Moshe into the cloud at Har Sinai, we have the similar idea that the Kohanim are prevented from entering because of the Shekhinah. And we have a lot of familiar language. Also, Kohanim la'amod lesharet is also a phraseology used in Sefer Dvarim, which is also meant to recall their job in the Bet HaMikdash. So this opening section is again the activation of Bet HaMikdash. This is the pinnacle of what we've been waiting for, the ability for the Shekhinah to rest in a place on earth that would be its abode. Az Amar Shlomo, Adonai Amar Lishkon Ba'arafel. And then Shlomo said again, Az, another poetic Az, another opening. Shlomo tells us, Hashem said, Hashem thought, to dwell in the Arafel, meaning that he is ephemeral. It's not something that you can touch, that you can have as a tangible physicality of God. God is going to be in the mist. Bano baniti bet zevulach machon leshivtecha olamim. I built for you a respectable, honorable home, a place for you to rest, machon, a resting place leshivtecha, for sitting, for dwelling, olamim, forever. Okay, so we have here the idea of Machon Leshivtecha. Machon Leshivtecha also appears in Az Yashir Moshe towards the end. Tevi'emo v'titaemo והנחלתך, מכון לשבתך, פעלת אדוני מקדש, אדוני, קוננו ידיך. This telescoping in history from the time of יציאת מצרים till the Bet HaMikdash, and here we are now with that same language of מכון לשבתך, that this is the place of Hashem's dwelling in the Bet HaMikdash. The idea of Bet HaMikdash being מכון לשבתך is going to be played upon by Shlomo in the coming up psukim. Let's keep it in mind. And even though Hashem was meant to be in the midst, now Shlomo HaMelech built a home for Hashem. Vayasev HaMelech et panav, vayvarech et kol kehal Yisrael. And then Shlomo HaMelech turned and gave a beracha to all of Am Yisrael. V'chol kehal Yisrael omed. And all of Am Yisrael is standing, right? When people are getting berachot, the idea is they stand to accept the beracha. Also berkat kohanim, berkat abanim. All the people who are getting berachot meant to be standing when they receive their beracha. Vayomer. And he said this blessing was, Baruch Adonai Elohei Yisrael, asher diber befiv et David aviv, avi ubiado mile lemor. Blessed be Hashem, the Lord of Israel, who spoke with his mouth and told my father David, and he carried it out. He executed what he said, which was, Min hayom asher hotzeti et ami et Yisrael min Mitzrayim, lo bacharti be'ir mikol shivtei Yisrael livnot bayit liyot shemisham, vayivchar be'David liyot alami Yisrael. And here we begin to have what we already saw, perhaps you already remember in Shmuel Bet, in regards to the mixing of the terminologies in regards to the Bet HaMikdash and the Malchut. And here he says that he promised David, telling him, from the day that I left Egypt, took the Jews out of Egypt, I didn't choose any particular city of all of Shiftei Yisrael in order to build a home, to have my name, my kavod, my honor be dwelling there. And I did choose David in order to be the ruler of Am Yisrael. So the choice of building Beit HaMikdash and this pasuk is not one that God is making. This is one that God is only choosing David to be the ruler. V'hi im levav David avi livnot bayit l'shem Adonai Elohei Yisrael. And my father David, it was in his discretion, it was his desire to build a home for the honor of Hashem, who is the God of Israel. V'yomer Adonai el David avi. Yan asher haya im levavecha livnot bayit l'shmi hetivota ki haya im levavecha. Hashem told David, we know that it was through the Nevi'im, through Natan, and it was also God HaNavi at the time of David. David himself does not get any direct nevuah. Here it seems to give off the impression that he did, and perhaps Shlomo had reason to want to have that impression be given, but at this point it could be understood that it was through an emissary, through a shaliach. Yan asher hayam levecha, Hashem tells David, it was a good idea, it was nice that you thought of building a home to honor me. Rak ata, pasuk yutet, rak ata lo tevne habayit, ki im bincha hayotze mechalatzecha, hu yivne habayit l'shmi. Rather, you are not going to be the one who builds the home for me, but rather, the son who comes from your loins, he will be the one who builds the house for me in my honor. And in Devarei HaYamim, the stress is not only on someone of his sons, but rather Shlomo in particular. And again, that might be representative of different agendas that the authors may have had in terms of establishing Shlomo as the uncontested heir to the throne versus the focus in this perek, which is the idea of Mikdash and not necessarily the establishment of the kingdom, even though we already noted that the two are interrelated. Vayakem Adonai et devaro asher diber, va'akum tachat David avi, va'yeshev al kisei Yisrael ka'asher diber Adonai va'yivneh habayit Hashem Adonai Elohei Yisrael. And Hashem fulfilled his word that he spoke, and I rose to replace my father David, and I sat on the throne of Am Yisrael to rule Yisrael, the same, just as God had said. So here again, Shlomo is in some sense giving himself this legitimization as the king based on divine appointment. Ka'asher diber Adonai, it could be seen as a general sense that God said someone of his sons would be the king, and so he was the one, but it seems to be indicating that God told him that he would be the king. And I built the house for the glory of Hashem, the Lord of Israel. V'asim sham makom la'aron, asher sham berit Adonai, asher karatim avotenu, v'hotzi'o otam me'eretz Mitzrayim. It seems to be that this was a point that needed to be mentioned. Shlomo saying, I managed to design a place for the Aron in this house for God to represent this covenant that Hashem has with us, with our forefathers, that He made when we left Eretz Mitzrayim. It leaves open the interesting possibility of it could have been a Bet HaMikdash that did not have the Aron in it. Normally, we presume the idea of the Aron being representative of the Shekhinah. Shlomo HaMelech is explaining to us, perhaps, not to put so much credence in the Aron itself, but rather this was a side point that we also happen to have the symbol of our Brit with Hashem, and it was integral to focus on the Brit aspect and not on some magical powers that the Aron have that represents God itself, but rather this is just a representation of the Brit, of the covenant between the people and Hashem. It's not to be taken as a representative of Hashem coming into the Beit HaMikdash, especially now that they saw that the Shekhinah got, so to speak, activated as the Aron entered into Kodesh HaKodashim. Pasuk Chaf Bet. We now move over to Shlomo's Tefillah, asking Hashem to listen to the Tefillot of Am Yisrael and the special significance of the Beit HaMikdash. V'yamod Shlomo lefne mizbach Adonai neged kol kehal Yisrael v'yifros kapav hashamayim. And Shlomo stood up in front of the Mizbeach, in facing all of the Kahal, all the people who were gathered from Am Yisrael, and he put his hands up with his palms facing the skies, spreading his hands out. Vayomar Adonai Elohei Yisrael, En kamocha Elohim b'shamayim mimal v'ararat mitachat. O God, the Lord of Israel, there is no one like you, Hashem, in the heavens above and on the earth, below the heavens, Shomer HaBerit VeHaChesed LaAvadecha HaHolchim Lefanecha B'chol Libam, who upkeeps his covenant and his loving kindness to his servants that are following him in all of their hearts. Asher Shamarta LeAvdecha LeDavid Avi Et Asher Dibarta Lo Tadaber BeFicha V'Yadcha Mileta Kayom Hazeh. You upkept for your servant, my father David, all of that you've spoke to him, and you spoke with him, and you've executed, as it is today, what it is that you promised him. Ve'ata Adonai Elohei Yisrael Shemole Abdecha David Avi Et Asher Dibarta Lo Lemor. And now Hashem, the God of Israel, please upkeep what it is that you spoke to my father David, your servant, when you said, Lo Yikaret Lecha Ish Menefanai Yoshev Al Kisei Yisrael. So initially he had said he already upkept what it was that David, his father, said, what was said to, and now he's telling him to please upkeep it again, meaning there were two parts. One was building the Beit HaMikdash, the son from his loins would build Beit HaMikdash, and indeed that is what happened. And now Shlomo is asking that the other part of Hashem's promise should also be upkept, which is that there'll never be a cessation of the kingship from the house of David. Rak im yishviru banecha et darkam lalechet lefanai kasher halachta lefanai, on the condition that your children will continue to watch and observe all of the ways of Hashem, to walk before Hashem, just as you, David, have walked before me. And that interpolation was also something that was added after the initial carte blanche promise that was given to Malchut David, regardless of the deeds of the kings themselves. Ve'ata Elohei Yisrael yamenna devarcha asher dibarta le'avdecha David avi. And now, God of Israel, may all of the words that you spoke over to my father David come true. Ki ha'omnam yashev Elohim al ha'aretz, hine ha'shamayim u'shmei ha'shamayim lo yechalkelucha, af ki ha'bayit hazeh asher baniti. For is it true Hashem can be dwelling on earth? Even the heavens and the heavens of the heavens aren't enough space for Hashem, certainly not the house that I just built. Ufanita al tefilat el tefilat avdecha ve'el techinato Adonai Elohai v'shmua el arina ve'el tefila asher avdecha mitpale lefanecha hayom. And turn to your servant's tefila and to the supplications, O great Hashem, my God, to listen and to grant the requests and the prayers that your servant is praying before you today. Right, El Harina. Rina is sometimes used as a call out of joy, but also used in terms of a bakasha. Lihiyot einecha fetuchot el abayit hazeh laila v'yom, אל המקום אשר אמרת יהיה שמי שם לשמוע אל התפילה שיתפלל עבדך אל המקום הזה. That your eyes should constantly be opened upon this house, night and day, to the place that you said that your glory will be, to listen to the prayers that your servant will pray through this place, to this place, in this place. This is a significant idea of what El HaMakom means in this context, but at this point it's through this place, meaning people are praying towards that direction. We have the idea that we're going to see later on in the Tefillah, which is reportedly the sources where Chazal learned that all of our Tefillot go towards Bet HaMikdash, and that's where our Tefillot will be received by Hashem. ושמעת אל תחינת עבדך ועמך ישראל שיתפללו אל המקום הזה, ואתה תשמע אל מקום שבתך אל השמיים ושמעת וסלחת. And you will hear the supplications of your servant and of that of Am Yisrael, now expanding the circle of who is going to be listened to, not only Shlomo, but also all of Am Yisrael, who will be praying through this place. And you will listen El Mekom Shivtecha, okay, again, through the place of where you will be residing, meaning at this point, we mentioned before, Makom Shivtecha is the Bet HaMikdash, and then El HaShamayim, it will go from the Bet HaMikdash to the Shamayim. Other people want to explain that Mekom Shivtecha is the Shamayim, and that was what Shlomo had said before, that really God dwells in the heavens, and that this bayit is only a representation of God on earth, but not this dwelling place. And therefore, El Mekom Shivtecha, El HaShamayim is equivalence, and therefore the place of God's rest is the Shamayim. V'shamata v'salachta, and you will listen and you will forgive, meaning that this is a place for forgiveness from sin. The people's tefillot are not just requests, but they're requests for forgiveness. And what are they asking forgiveness for? Et asher yechata ish lere'ehu v'nasha bo ala leha'aloto. For if someone would sin to his fellow man, and he will be caused to give a swear, uba ala lifnei mizbachacha b'bayit hazeh, and the swear will come before the mizbeach in this house. Now, it's not clear whether or not this swearing that's going on is representing monetary cases, and there are situations where the plaintiff forces the defendant to take an oath to prove that he was innocent, such as in the Shomrim situation. They have to prove they didn't have any mispropriety with their deposited object, and there has a shivuah, not shlichut yad. But it might also be the oath, the swears that take place in the sota procedure, and it would make perhaps more sense to say that it's the sota procedure, because otherwise, if every swear that went on in a judicious proceeding needed to come to the Bet HaMikdash, it would be quite onerous. We do have the idea of Mishpat taking place in the Mikdash or near the Mikdash. We know that the Lishkat HaGazit is near the Bet HaMikdash for where the Sanhedrin sat. We also know from the Pesukim, we know that why is Nismecha Parashat Mizbeach to Ve'ele HaMishpatim, the end of Yitro to the beginning of Mishpatim, to tell us also that we have Mishpat next to the Mizbeach. We also know Lo tita lecha ashra kol etz etzel mizbach Hashem elokecha asher ta'aseh lach in Shoftim, Parashat Shoftim, also talking about judgments, not to have asherah next to the mizbeach, also in regards to the idea of judgment being near the mizbeach. So there is sources to indicate that it could be monetary cases, but that would be indeed quite onerous. And the other option would be the idea of sota, where the language of Asher Yechta Ish Lere'ehu wouldn't be very smooth. It might be involving his wife, whether Re'ehu is the wife, or whether Re'ehu is the other paramour in the situation of the sota, and that's what we're referring to here. Ve'ata tishma ha-shamayim, ve'asita, ve'shafetta et abadecha, ve'harshi ha-rasha, latet darko berosho, ve'hazdik sadik, latet lo kesidkato. And you will listen ha-shamayim. What does that mean, Hashamayim? The heavens will hear? No, it's God who is in the heavens will hear. And this is the source where the idea of what's Mechom Shivtecha, meaning the Shamayim, is supported. That the idea that God is still in the heavens, even though we have Bet HaMikdash. and you will conduct the judgment for your servants, and you will make the wicked one guilty and the innocent one righteous, and you'll give the wicked one what their just deserts are, and similarly to the Sadiq, you'll give them what they deserve. And that's similar to the idea when it's a sotah situation, that it's midah keneged midah for the punishments, both for the woman if she was guilty, and for the paramour if there was one.
B'hinagef amecha Yisrael lefnei oyev asher chatu lach v'shavu alecha v'hodu et shemecha v'hitpalelu v'hitchananu alecha b'bayit hazeh.
Or in a situation where Am Yisrael loses their battles in front of their enemies because they sin to you, and they will make teshuvah, and they'll do repentance, and they will call out to your name, they will admit their guilt, or they will thank you, God, for listening to their tefillot, and they'll pray and supplicate to you in this house. Okay, in this situation, is the only one where we have that there's, not the only one, but is one of the situations where the Pasuk says they will be in this house, similar to the oath taking place in the house, as opposed to the other ones where there be situations where the tefillot are going, so to speak, through Beit HaMikdash. And this is another situation where Shlomo HaMelech is informing Am Yisrael what the purpose of the Beit HaMikdash is. Again, it's a place for teshuvah. It's a place for selicha. It's not a place just to make a wish and go home.
Ve'ata tishma ha-shamayim v'salachta lechatat amecha Yisrael v'hashivotam el ha-adama asher natata la'avotam.
And you will hear from the heavens, and you will forgive to the sins of Am Yisrael, and you will return them to their land where you were given to their forefathers. And here the envisioned situation is that when the Jews lose that battle in front of the enemy, certain people are taken captive. And unfortunately, we've known too many of prisoners taken during wartime, and we know that we work hard to get them back. And so it's only when we have here the tefillot through this place, through the Beit HaMikdash, that Hashem will forgive the Hataim of Am Yisrael to allow for the people to return back to Eretz Yisrael.
Another situation Shlomo envisions, Beha'atzer shamayim velo yeh matar, ki yehet ulach, vehitpalelu el hamakom hazeh, vehodu et shemecha, umehatatam yishuvun, ki ta'anem.
Or when the skies will be closed up and there won't be any rain, and that's also because of the Hataim, because of the sins. All of the punishments Shlomo envisions are results of Hataim, results of evil doings. And the people will pray El HaMakom HaZeh, towards this place, and they will again Hodu Et Shemecha, either admit their guilt before you, or they will thank your name, they will admit that you're the Melech, and they will return from their sins, and you will answer them.
Ve'ata Tishma HaShamayim V'salachta Lechatat Abadecha Ve'amecha Yisrael Ki Torem Et HaDerech HaTova She'ilchu Ba V'natata Matar Al Arzecha She'natata Le'amecha Le'nachala.
And then you will hear from the heavens, and you will forgive the Hataim of Am Yisrael, of your servants, and you will show them the right way in which they need to behave in order to undo their misdeeds, and they will be able to give the reins on the land that you had given to Am Yisrael as their Nahala.
Pasuk Lamed Zayin. Ra'av ki yeh ba'aretz, dever ki yeh, shiddafon, yirakon, arbe, hasil ki yeh, ki yatzalo yevo be'eretz sh'arav, kol nega, kol mahala.
Next situation, Shlomo envisions if there's a case of a famine in the land, or if there's pestilence, if there's a blight, if there's a mildewy crop, if there are attacks of caterpillars or of locusts, and they destroy the crops, or if there's situations where the enemy besieges the city, yatzar, from the language of hetzar, to make a matzor around the gates of the land, any type of sickness that there might be, or any type of plague, any Ebola type of thing, anything that's going on for epidemics, all these terrible situations, kol tefillah, kol techina, shetiyeh lechol ha'adam, lechol amecha Yisrael, asher yed'un, ish nega levavo, ufaras kapav el habayit hazeh. Again, all of these languages are reminiscent of the tochecha in parashat ki tavo, all the things that could be happening to the Jewish people because they're not keeping the Torah and the mitzvot. And on those situations, Shlomo is asking that any prayer and any supplication that will be for any person from anyone of Am Yisrael who knows what is the nega levavo, who knows what's the plague of his own heart, meaning he knows his own sin, he knows what the problem is, he knows why he's being punished, he knows what he needs teshuvah for, ufaras kapav, and he'll stretch out his hands just like I am now, so to speak, says Shlomo, el habayit hazeh. Apparently this was a mode of the Jewish posture of prayer, as Rabbi Israel points out in his book, with some reference there in regards to the historical development or abolition of certain types of postures. But the idea of spreading out your arms in prayer in Beit HaMikdash or towards this Beit HaMikdash, Ve'ata tishma ha-shamayim machon shivtecha v'salachta v'asita v'natata la'ish kechol d'racha v'asher teda et debavo ke'ata yadata debadecha et debav kol b'nei ha'adam. And you will listen from the heavens and where you are dwelling, your dwelling place, or through the Beit HaMikdash, you will listen in the heavens through the Machon Shivtecha, from the seat of your station here on earth in Beit HaMikdash, and you will forgive and you will do for each person according to what he deserves, because you know the truth, you know it's in his heart, you know if he's making a true repentance, you know whether or not that's really the sin that's being punished for, and you're the only one who knows the thoughts of all of the people. Leman yiraucha kol hayamim asherim hayim al pnei ha'adama ashenatata la'avotenu. And when Am Yisrael sees the benefits of the Beit HaMikdash and they see the results of their prayers in Beit HaMikdash and they're able to achieve forgiveness, they will then have yirat shamayim all of the days of their lives that they live on in Eretz Yisrael, which you gave to our forefathers. And that's basically the section for Am Yisrael. The purpose of all of this is that Bnei Yisrael will be closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and will have a place to achieve forgiveness. And this is the place that was picked by David at the end of the Magifah, is where the Magifah stopped when he made a census of the people. And that was where the angel of destruction was halting from its rampage throughout the people. And it was there that David HaMelech prayed and called out to Hashem, at least as stated out in Devarei HaYamim, that if it was... If he did something that was wrong in terms of ordering the census, then why should these innocent people be killed? And his prayer was accepted, and that was the point of Rahamim, that exact location geographically. The Mikdash is that particular place where we know that Hashem halted death, and he stopped and turned everything around and allowed people to live, and that's why the Beit HaMikdash is on the place where David identified as the place where Hashem was listening to his tefillah, even though he wasn't standing exactly right there. He was a little further off. He only later went to Arnon to make the Mizbeach. But he made his tefillah, and it was heard through that place. And that was the place where Beit HaMikdash is established, the place of Rahamim, of Hashem listening and halting the punishments. And now we move to Pasuk Mem Aleph, an interesting part of Moshe Lamo's tefillah in regards to a non-Jew. וגם אל הנוכרי אשר לא מעמך ישראל הוא, הוא בא מארץ רחוקה למען שמך. And even a non-Jew who's not part of Am Yisrael, he comes from a faraway land in order to honor your name. כי ישמעון את שמך הגדול, ואת ידך החזקה וזרועך הנטויה, הוא בא והתפלל אל הבית הזה. Because your name, your reputation, your great reputation will be heard of in these faraway lands, all the greatness of your might and your outstretched arm, similar language that we have in regards to Yetziat Mitzrayim, and that non-Jew will come and he will pray towards this house, through this house, at this house. Pasuk Mem Gimel, Ata Tishma Hashamayim Mechon Shivtecha Ve'asita Kechol Asher Yikra Elecha Hanochri Leman Yad'un Kol Amei Ha'aretz Et Shemcha Liyira'a Otcha Ke'amecha Yisrael Ladat Ki Shemcha Nekra'a Al Habayit Hazeh Asher Baniti. And you, Hashem, you will listen at the heavens, the place of your seating of your throne, and you will do whatever the non-Jew asks of you. And this is in order that they should know, all the nations of the world should know and recognize your name and have fear of you, just as the Jewish people have, and to know that your greatness is declared upon this house that I have just built for you. So as opposed to Am Yisrael, where there has to be some type of teshuvah, the make-a-wish scenario, at the Mikdash is something that happens for the Nochri, is something that happens for the non-Jews, in order for them to be able to recognize God's greatness and to have fear of Hashem, to see that he came to the Beit HaMikdash and he asked something of Hashem, the Jews, the Lord of the Jews, and it came true and it happened, and it was something that he'll be coming to come closer to understanding and recognizing God's greatness. This universalistic aspect of the Mikdash is something that Shlomo incorporates here. It's echoed throughout the Nevi'im in different places, it's particularly in Yeshayahu, and it's interesting to see it here in this formulation. Ki yetzei amecha la milchama ol oyevo baderech asher tishlachem.
והתפללו אל אדוני דרך העיר אשר בחרת בה, והבית אשר בניתי לשמך. And if the Jewish people go out to battle outside of Eretz Israel against its enemies on the way in which you send them, right? But derech is also a language that's used by Shaul in regards to Amalek, that Hashem sends him on the derech to go kill Amalekim. And here too, if there's Jews that are going to go out to battle outside of Eretz Israel, they're on a derech, and they're going to come back, and they're going to do their mission, and they will pray to you, Hashem, through this city which you chose, and the house in which you built for your great name, for your presence. And so here we have the expansion, and the idea of, we're now going to pray towards Yerushalayim, and the direction of Beit HaMikdash. And that's where we begin our Chazal understanding of, we pray towards Yerushalayim, towards Beit HaMikdash, v'shamata ha-shamayim et tefilatam v'et tchinatam v'asita mishpatam. And you, great God, you'll hear from the heavens their tefillah and their supplication, and you will do their, you will maintain their cause, you will be able to fight their battles. Right? La'asot v'hem mishpat katuv is to carry out the battle against them, not necessarily a judgment, but in regards to a battle. Ki yehetu lach, ki en adam asher lo yecheta, ve'anaftabam untatam lefnei oyev, v'shavum shoveihem el eretz ha'oyev rechoka al krova. And if they sin to you, which is inevitable, says Shlomo HaMelech, because no one is a human being who doesn't sin. We have some reverberations back to Kohelet, Ken Sadiq Barat Asher, Yichyev Lo Yecheta. And you'll get angry with them, and you will allow them to fall in front of their enemies. This is when we're already in enemy territory outside of Eretz Yisrael. V'shavum shovehem, and their captors will capture them and take them to their enemy lands, rechoka o krova, near or far. V'heshivu el libam ba'aretz asher nishbu sham. And in their land of captivity, they will make teshuvah in all their hearts. V'shavu v'etchanenu elecha be'eretz shovehem lemor, chatanu v'he'evinu hirsha'nu. And in their land of captivity, they're going to supplicate you, God, and they will be praying to you and telling you that they have sinned, that they have done hata'im, and they've done things that are avonot, that are motivated through lust and temptations. Rasha'nu, we've done things that are wicked. V'shavu elecha v'chol levavam u'chol nafsham be'eretz oyvehem asher shavu otam, v'hitpadalu elecha derech artzam asher natat ala avotam, ha'ir asher bacharta, v'habayad asher baniti lishmecha. And they will repent with all their hearts and all their souls from the enemy territory where they've been captive, and they will pray to you in the direction of Eretz Yisrael that you gave to their forefathers, and Yerushalayim, and Beit HaMikdash. And so these are the tiers that we know of in terms of tefillah. When you're outside of Eretz Yisrael, you turn towards Eretz Yisrael. Within Eretz Yisrael, you turn towards Yerushalayim. Within Yerushalayim, you turn towards Beit HaMikdash. V'shamata ha-shamayim mechon shivtecha et tefilatam v'et tchinatam v'asita mishpatam. And you will listen from the heavens, where your dwelling place is, to their tefillot and their supplications, and you will again carry out their battles to be able to free them. V'sanachta le'amecha asher chata'u lach v'chol pesheihem asher pash'u bach ונתתם לרחמים לפני שוביהם וריחמום. And you will forgive them for all the sins that they've done and for all the iniquities that they've carried out against you, and you will give them to be have pity in the eyes of their captors, and they will release them, have compassion on them. כי עמך ונחלתך הם אשר הוצאת ממצרים מתוך כור הברזל. Because these are your members of your nation, and they're the part of your nachala, your inheritance. In other words, we are part of God's inheritance. Asher hotzeta memitzrayim mitoch kur ha-barzel, something that God holds and cherishes, the Jewish people. He took them out of Mitzrayim, from the midst of the furnace of iron, from where we purified us, and he took us out of Mitzrayim, from out of the tum'ah of Mitzrayim, and therefore he should stick with us and help us be, and give us the forgiveness that we're looking for. Liyot enecha petuchot el techinat abdecha ve'el techinat amecha Yisrael lishmua alehem bechol koram elecha. That your eyes should be opened, meaning you should be receptive to the supplications of your servant and to the supplications of Am Yisrael, to listen to them wherever they call out to you. And this is the catch-all phrase at the end of the contract. There's always that paragraph that covers all situations that may not have already been covered in the above-mentioned paragraphs. And this is the one that we have in Shlomo's tefillah, that Hashem should listen for any type of calling out that Am Yisrael is going to do to him. that we should have the ability to be heard through Bet HaMikdash. Ki ata hevdaltam lecha lenachala mikol amei haaretz, because you've declared them and separated them out as your inheritance, as your special people from all of the nations of the world.
כאשר דיברת ביד משה עבדך והוציאך את אבותינו ממצרים אדוני אלוהים.
Because you have spoken that way with Moshe, your servant, when we took our forefathers out of Egypt, my great God, O Lord. End of this idea of the tefillah. He ends with calling out to Hashem, and he says, O Lord God. This is the conclusion of Shlomo's tefillah. And now let's see what happens after Shlomo finishes his prayers, and we talk about how he conducts a beracha for the people and the korbanot that are going to be brought to close the ceremonies. Pasuk Nun Dalet.
והי כחלות שלמה להתפלל על אדוני את כל התפילה והתחינה הזאת, קם לפני מזבח אדוני מקרוע על ברכיו וחפה פרוסות השמיים.
And when Shlomo finishes his tefillah to Hashem, all of his calling out and his supplications that we just talked about, he gets up from before the mizbeach, from bending down on his knees. Now before we had said that he was standing. So apparently during the tefillah, at one point or another, Shlomo HaMelech is kneeling down, and he maintains that his hands are outstretched upwards towards the heavens.
ויעמוד ויברך את כל קהל ישראל כל גדול לאמור.
And he stood up and he blessed Am Yisrael that were present in a loud voice, saying,
ברוך אדוני אשר נתן מנוחה לעמו ישראל ככל אשר דיבר, לא נפל דבר אחד מכל דברו הטוב אשר דיבר ביד משה עבדו.
Blessed be you, Hashem, who gave respite and rest to the people of Am Yisrael, just like you said. Nothing of the good things that you promised have abated, have fallen through. They've all come true, just like you spoke in the through Moshe Rabbeinu, your servant. We have similar language in regards to the conquest by Yehoshua, and this language is being incorporated here in the Shlomo's concluding blessing to the people, that everything comes true of what Hashem promises, and that would also include the promises that they just heard in regards to the never-ending ruling of Malchut Bet David in the kingdom.
Yehi Adonai Eloheinu Amanu Kasher Hayayim Abotenu Al Ya'azbenu Ve'al Yiteshenu.
Hashem should be with us, just like he was with our forefathers, or our fathers, meaning David. He shouldn't leave us, he shouldn't abandon us.
Lehatot Lebabenu Elav Lalechet Bechol Derechav Leshmo Mitzvotav Vechukav Umishpatav Shesivat Abotenu.
He should help incline our hearts, so that we should follow him in all of his ways and to keep all of his precepts and all of his laws and all of his rulings the way that he commanded our forefathers or our fathers.
And
these words that I just said and that I've just supplicated before God, they should be close to God's heart day and night, and they should be able to do, Hashem should do what it is that his servant needs. And fight the battles of his servant, and to fight the battles of Am Yisrael, and to provide what they need on a daily basis. So that all of the nations of the world should know that God is the only Lord, there is no other. And this is an idea that's being introduced now, that through Am Yisrael, and through their keeping of the Torah and Mitzvot, and their being provided for by God, the rest of the world will come to recognize God's sovereignty over the world. And similarly, we always pray in Alinu L'Shabeach that while we are praying that Hashem should reveal Himself to us, it's Alkena Kavelach, Hashem Lekena Rot Mehera B'Tiferet Ozach, that you'll do what we need for your Geulah, but then it'll be Yakiru V'Yedu Kol Yoshveh Tevel, the whole world will recognize you as the only God. V'Haya Levavchem Shalem Im Adonai Eloheinu L'Lechet B'Chukav V'Lishma Mesotav K'Yom Hazeh, and your heart should be pure and full and completely in sync and entrusting with God your Lord, to follow in his ways, in his laws and his paths and precepts, like you are today, all standing here in the inauguration for the Bet HaMikdash. And that's the end of the beracha that Shlomo gives to the people. And now we turn to the idea of the korbanot and what it is that was being done in that respect in order to inaugurate the Bet HaMikdash.
V'hamelech v'chol Yisrael imo zovechim zevach lefnei Adonai.
And the king and all of Am Yisrael that were there are bringing korbanot before Hashem.
Vayizbach Shlomo et zevach ha-shalamim asher zavach la'Adonai bakar 22,000
v'tzon 120,000 ויחנכו את בית אדוני המלך בכל בני ישראל. And so Shlomo brought tremendous amounts of korbanot that he brought before Hashem. He brought cattle of 22,000 heads, and he brought 120,000 sheep, and he inaugurated the Beit HaMikdash, the king, and all of Am Yisrael. ביום ההוא קידש המלך את תוכי חצר, אשר לפני בית אדוני, כי עשה שם את העולה בית המלכה ואת חלבי השלמים, כי מזבח הנחושת אשר לפני אדוני קטון מהכיל את העולה בית המלכה ואת חלבי השלמים. And on that day, שלמה המלך needed to sanctify not only the מזבח, but the entirety of the chatzer, in order for it to be a place where we can bring all these korbanot, because that's where he needed to do his olah offerings and bring his mincha and to burn the chalavim of the shalamim, and because the mizbech hanechoshet that he had built was too small in order to handle everything that was being offered on that day. V'yah Shlomo ba'et ahi et ha'chag v'chol yisrael imo kehal gadol milevo hamat ad nachal mitzrayim lifnei Adonai Eloheinu shivat yamim v'shivat yamim arba'a asar yom. And Shlomo HaMelech at that time, when he finished these korbanot, he made the holiday with all of Am Yisrael, a great multitudes of people. Again, these are again people who now came in order to celebrate Sukkot. They're coming for Aliyah LaRegel. And so people have come from all over the kingdom. And here we have a description, which is a tremendous amount of geographic area, Levo Chamat, whether it's 200 or 400 kilometers north of what's currently the northern Golan Heights, but it's clearly way north of what we're familiar with in terms of the borders of Israel. It could be parallel in the latitude to the Euphrates, Ad Nachal Mitzrayim, until the Nile, before God, Lifnei Hashem Elokeinu, he made the holiday, right? Nachal Mitzrayim is not what's before God, it's the celebration that's before God, and Shlomo HaMelech makes a double seven-day holiday, 7 days of Hanukkah Beit HaMikdash, and another 7 days of the Hag of Sukkot. And then, Bayom HaShemini, Shilach Et Ha'am, Vayibarechu Et HaMelech. On the 8th day, after the Shemini Atzeret is over, he sends away the people to go back to their homes. There was some idea that they were, since Shlomo invited them, they have to stay until Shlomo allows them to go back. Vayibarechu Et HaMelech, and they gave a beracha to the king, meaning that this is part of their allegiance to Shlomo HaMelech, v'yirechu le'aolehem semechim v'tov elev. And then they went back to their tents, happy and good-hearted. Unfortunately, the only other time that this type of term is used is by Haman, sameach v'tov lev, when he thought that he was on top of the world. Perhaps some allusion to a false sense of security in the conclusion of the building of the Beit HaMikdash, that everything is hunky-dory forevermore. But definitely at this point, a true, sincere, full heartfelt simcha for all of Am Yisrael going back after having a 14-day holiday. Certainly the hundreds of thousands of animals provided for wonderful barbecues for many thousands of people that were there for this gala event. And they are all very happy. Al David Avdo, Yisrael Amo, for all of the greatness and goodness that God did for his servant David and for his nation Israel, which was the seating of Shlomo as the king. And that's what he did for David, and he also allowed him to build Beit HaMikdash. And both of those things are seen as good things that are done for Am Yisrael. If we do the math, if we have 14 days backwards from the time of Shemini Atzeret as celebration time, we find that indeed Yom HaKippurim is one of those days, and according to Chazal, this was the one time in Jewish history where we have the all of Am Yisrael not fasting on Yom Kippur in honor of the inauguration of the Beit HaMikdash. It could be understood on some level if Yom Kippur is the day where Am Yisrael was forgiven for Chet HaEgel, and the idea that they misappropriated their wealth in order to do that, and they needed to have forgiveness, the pinnacle of their abilities to dedicate all of their means and gold in terms of building Beit HaMikdash and directing their allegiance and the trust, their alliance to Hashem, is in the building of the Beit HaMikdash. And perhaps on some thematic level, there would be some other justification for upholding the celebration over the fast. This concludes Perek Chet, Shlomo HaMelech has completed the highlight of his career in terms of building Beit HaMikdash, fulfilling his father's tzava'ah, things that David had been preparing for years before passing away, and handing over the plans to Shlomo HaMelech now have come to fruition. We also had read about in the previous parak the other buildings that Shlomo HaMelech built. One of them was the Ulam HaMishpat, which may also connect the idea of Mishpat to Beit HaMikdash. And we are going to move on to see the great opulence of the kingdom of Shlomo HaMelech in Perek Tet.